Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Bavadra Daf Kuf Lamed Chet Amud Bet, in the middle of the seventh Mishnah of the eighth Perek. We have a small piece here. Av Tole Shumache L'chol Mishi Yurtze. The father can uproot stuff in his property and give it to whoever he wants to. U'mashi Niach Talush Harehu Shel Yorshin. Whatever he leaves, cut, but not hand it over. It belongs to the Yorshin. Now, this is a little bit misleading. Talush in mechubar lo. So the Gemara immediately questions, what about the stuff that's in the ground? Why doesn't that go to the Yorshin? Vatanya sheminata mechubarin lo kiach. That's a sefting ktubot that says that in such a case where a gift is given, then the lukuchot who get the land have to assess how much the perot mechubarin are worth and give that back to the Yorshin. So how come the Yorshim here don't get it? Amar ula lokasha, kan bivno, kan biacher. Well, without those shodam, korbaitz of no. In our case in the Mishnah, the acher he'd given to was his son. And so the idea was that the perot that are tlushim, they didn't give away to the son, that goes to the Yorshim. But the stuff in the ground, since he intended a greater gift, he includes that to the son. Okay, the rest of Mishnah Zayin and Mishnah Chet are all put together in this piece. This is talking about a regular Yerusha with no early gifting, no matnat shechivira, nothing. Let's say the fellow died and left some adult sons and younger sons. Now, adult sons typically need more for clothing, etc., and younger sons typically need more for food. The adults cannot take their money on the account of or at the expense of the younger ones, and vice versa. Each one gets an equal chelak, and that's what they're given for their food or for their clothing, whatever their needs are. Nasu hagdolim isu hagtanim. If the older ones get married, the younger ones also get married, and they get money to support the marriage. Mamruk tanim hareinu nosin kederach shenasatem atem. If the younger ones say to the older ones, we'll see in the Gemara, this is a particular kimta, we want to get married the same way you got married, with the same kind of honor and money, etc. We don't listen to them, but rather what father gave them is what he gave them. Meaning, this case that's being dealt with is where the older sons got married while father was alive. The father maybe had more money or was more generous, and he gave them a lot for their wedding. Now the younger sons want to have the same thing. We say, no, you just get whatever your chelik is, and that's what you can use. Now the last mishnah is, let's say he died leaving daughters. Older and younger. Same thing as with the sons. Divide equally. Again, same exact interpretation, same exact case. If the older daughter is married while father was alive and he gave them a fancy or whatever, and the younger daughters say we want the same thing, we don't listen to them. Rather, they get whatever the chelik is. Now, last thing is, zechom babanot mibanim. Here is a chumrah of if there's all daughters, as opposed to daughters and sons. Shabanot nizonot al habanim, then nizonot al habanot. If you have daughters and sons, the daughters are fed at the expense of the sons' Yerusha. But if there's daughters and daughters, then it's done equally, and it's not at anybody else's expense. Okay, Amar Rava. This is sort of a backdoor piece. Hai godol achi, not yet, but hai godol achi, if the oldest of the brothers, the labash v'ichsim beta, if let's say he gets dressed, and he buys nice clothes from the estate. My da'avad ava, that's valid, and it can't be, his part is not diminished when they divide it up based on that. I bought a tanim, golden parts in al tanim, that sounds like the opposite of our Mishnah. So, ma'nitin bisharcha. Our Mishnah is talking about a batman, a guy who's just getting dressing up nicely, not doing anything with it. As opposed to the case that Rav is talking about, where the oldest brother dresses up nicely so he can go and do business, and people will honor him, and it'll help the estate. Sharcha pshita. It's obvious that if a batman uses money from the estate to get dressed, that comes out of his account. So ma'udetema nechalu delo ninvo. Maybe everybody's happy that he shouldn't look disgusting. So kamash palam that he's really of no use in that way. Asug dolim yisug tanim. Now this is what I already explained. My kamar yurachi kamar. Asug dolim lachamitata vien yisug tanim lachamitata vien. If they're all getting married afterwards, then they all use the money for getting married. And if the older ones got married while father was alive, and then afterwards the younger ones grow up as orphans and say, we want to get married with the same glory you had, And Shomin Lahem al Mashmatan Lahavian, whatever Natan, whatever father gave the older ones when he was alive, he gave. And now whatever these guys get is their Yerusha, that's what they can use. Now, here's the backdoor. Shalach le'avua bar g'neva l'rava. So he asked Rava the following question. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, teach us. Lav tavi achla v'amda v'nisei. Let's say a girl was poor and she borrowed money in order to eat and then she got married. Now, does the lender, can he collect from the husband? Bal lokeach havi o yorish havi. The question is the husband a lokeach vis-a-vis his wife's property or is he yorish? Let's say the milva was a milva al peh, and a milva al peh cannot collect from the kuchot. And if the husband is considered to be now a buyer of her property, he can't collect from that. Maybe we consider the husband a yoresh. Milva al peh, govern a yoshin. That you are govern a yoshin. So what's the deal? So Rava said back, Tanina nasugdolot yisuk tanot, our Mishnah. My love nasugdolot la baal yisuk tanot mi baal. Doesn't that mean that if the older ones got married and they got married to husbands, then the younger ones can get married and the husband has to pay? In other words, the husband's a yoresh, and now he's responsible to take care of his sisters-in-law getting married. Amrle, no. Nasu gdolot labal yisuk tanot labal. It just means that if the older ones get married, younger ones get married. It's labal. Eini v'atani Rav Chia nasu gdolot labal yisuk tanot mi baal. But Rav Chia explicitly said it the way that we said it earlier, that the husband has to help. Maybe that's a different case because parnasa, meaning the dowry, is something that's very famous and it's like a milva bishtar. So therefore, the husband, when he marries and he's got younger sisters-in-law, he does have to help with that based on the money coming from the estate that was originally father's. Okay, I'm going to pop the Rava. Lavhan shalach Ravin deigarte. Isn't this the same thing that Ravin sent in his letter? Misha meit v'niach amana uvat. The guy died and he left an almana and a daughter. Amanaton nizon b'chasav. The almana is fed from his estate. That's easy. Nisei tabat. If the daughter gets married, amanaton nizon b'chasav. Now that's a little bit of a chiddush because the property has now gone to her son-in-law. Meita habat, this is the biggest chiddush. If the daughter dies, and now the son inherited it, Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Achoto, so Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Al Yadi, Hayam Asev, Yamru, Amanatoni, Zom Chasav. I had a case like that, and the rule was that the Amon is still fed, which means, Yamar Bishnama Yoresh Habe, if I accept the principle that the husband is a Yoresh, Shemach Amanatoni, Zom Chasav, that's why his mother-in-law is now fed from the estate, because he's a Yoresh who has to take care of the Amon. So it's quite good proof. So now, Amar Abaye then turned and said, even without Ravin's message, we already know that the Baal is a Yoresh. We have a Mishnah Bechor that says, Elu Shein Chozin Biyovel, the following do not go back to the owners Biyovel. Somebody who inherits from his wife. So in other words, somebody who gets from his wife is a Yoresh, not a Lokeach. So Abaye said we didn't need Ravin to prove that the Baal is a Yoresh. Amrli Rava v'hashu shalach miyadinan. He said Ravin doesn't even help us. Ha'amr Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, we have the famous ruling of Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina. Ba'ushi itkinu ha'isha shemachar nichse melog v'chayi baal. If a woman sells her nichse melog while husband's alive, umeita, and she predeceases him, ha'baal motzim yad al kuchot. The husband could take from the kuchot, which proves that he's a lokeach. So even Ravin's ruling about the almana doesn't help us because we see explicitly here that a husband's a lokeach. Ala Amar Rashi, Rashi came along and solved everything and answered the question that was asked to Rava two generations earlier. Baal shavu rabbanu kiyoresh shavu rabbanu kilokeach. The husband, relative to his wife's property, is a yoresh or a lokeach. Veheicha detavale avdule. Whatever's better for him, they decide in each case. Gam be yova. When it comes to yova, shavu rabbanu kiyoresh, they're going to be yoresh. Shum seidin dinei, so he shouldn't have to lose the property. In the case of Nichsei Melog, Shavu Rabbanu Kilokeach, they made him a Lokeach, Meshum Seda Didei, so that he shouldn't lose the property. Gabe de Ravin, in the case of Ravin with the Almana, Meshum Seda de Almana, Shavu Rabbanu Kiyoresh, they made him like a Yoresh so that the Almana would get fed. Which means, by the way, we're expanding it out and saying it's not just his benefit, it's the benefit of others that helps us determine what to call him. Now, if that's the case, wait a second, there is a loser in Rabbi Yosef case. Somebody bought property from the woman died, and now the husband's going to seize it from him, so the buyer lost. So, now they blew it themselves. Since the husband was alive, they had no business buying property from a woman who's still living under her husband, meaning a woman who is still married, and which means there's a certain amount of speculation here that the husband, the woman may die first, and then they're going to lose the property. Okay, with this, we've completed our study of the eighth parak, Yesh Nochlin, and we will move on now to the penultimate parak of Masachet Nezikin and of Masachet Babatra, Mishmeit, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.